Hello again, this is Patrick Kelly, Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association President and Head Coach at Seaman High School. Welcome to this podcast featuring Sean McCarthy. McCarthy is being honored as our Contributor of the Year. His humble, good-natured persona isn't the stereotype of a competitive D1 college wrestler, but McCarthy was just that. He qualified for the 1984 NCAA Championships at the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey, while representing Indiana State University, and won a coveted Midlands title the next season. To demonstrate how prestigious that Midlands title was, just listen to the names of some of the other champions at the 84 tournament. Jim and Bill Shear, Bruce Bumgarner, Marty Kistler, and Jim Heffernan. McCarthy gained national ranking, but injuries derailed his chances to earn All-American status. Prior to transferring to Indiana State, McCarthy competed for the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh, where he was a national runner-up at 167 pounds at the NCAA Division III Nationals in 1982. He was also the Wisconsin Intercollegiate Athletic Conference champion that year as well. Sean McCarthy is one of the most visible supporters of wrestling in the state of Kansas. He has been a regular on the Kansas wrestling scene for years with his roles of a wrestling parent, coach, enthusiast, and advocate. From kids' events to high school tournaments to the NAIA Nationals, Sean works tirelessly to support and promote the sport of wrestling through the Kansas College Wrestling Fund, an organization he helped get off the ground. It is an extra privilege and honor to have Mr. McCarthy on the other end of the line today. Just one day prior to our originally scheduled interview, a week or so ago, Sean got in touch with me to let me know that he may have to cancel. He was not feeling well and was going to the doctor. His symptoms suggested that it may be more serious than a take two aspirin and call me in the morning situation. The next day, Sean contacted me to let me know that he had, in fact, had a stroke. With the love and support of his wife, Jill, he is on the mend. Sean, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing, and what has the recovery process been like?
Well, Pat, first, thanks for having me on today. And it's an honor to be selected by my peers. And there are many good people around the state of Kansas doing great things for wrestling at all levels, the kids, middle school, high school, and college level. And I'd like to thank you and the KWCA for selecting me for this award. My recovery from the stroke has been good. My day-to-day activities have been much slower or at a slower pace. I should be fine as long as I follow my wife's lead and the doctor's orders. So, and I have great family and friends who are working with me on this process of going through the stroke and rehab.
All right. I was very impressed with your attitude in the days that followed your hospitalization, and feel confident that you will stick to the plan of your medical team has put in place, and also that of your head coach and wife, Jill.
I've been very fortunate, Pat, with the doctors and all the team at Overland Park Regional. You know, they kind of just, until they did the MRI, they didn't really believe I had a stroke at that time. I was passing all the other normal testing. And then the MRI showed I had bleeding in the brain. And so basically, the other part of my brain that's still working is supposed to take over the duties and teach me how to get back in my stance. So anyway, things are going well.
Okay, in the opening, I talked about some of your accomplishments in college while competing for Indiana State and Wisconsin Oshkosh. How did you get started in the sport, and what brought you to Indiana State to compete for the Sycamores?
Well, my first exposure to wrestling, Pat, was when I was in fifth grade. And our elementary school, which was a K through five, was attached to the middle school, grades six through eight. My brother Dave was probably the largest influence or best influence on me as far as wrestling goes. He started in the middle school, and I would sneak over there and watch his practices, and he'd come home and practice moves on me, so I was his dummy. And then I would go in and roll around with some of the kids that were older than me. I first wrestled my first kids' local tournament in sixth grade. It was in cutoff shorts and high-top Converse with the metal eye still in the shoes. And then I didn't have a singlet, so we just cut off my T-shirt, the sleeves, and then I had a really cheap headgear, which I still have today. At that tournament, there was a kid kind of hopping around trying to psych me out, and he had pins all over his sweatshirt and warm-up gear, told me he was a state champ, but I didn't even know that existed back then. I thought it was only high school that had state championships. So I did well in sixth grade through eighth grade, won most of my matches, but I only wrestled 30 matches in 3 years. So I would go up to the high school and practice with some of the older kids. As far as in high school, I kind of was a late bloomer. I wrestled 98, 105, 126, and 138. And then I just kept growing and kind of jumped to 167 in college. My senior year of high school, I had a problem with my spine, which kind of ended my high school career. And then I was not real interested in wrestling. And then my brother Dave talked me into walking on at a small Division III college, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. The following summer, I was in a bad car wreck and ended up transferring back to the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh, which was my hometown. I was working at a YMCA in the morning, cleaning the weight room, did weight training and running on my own, going to school, work nights at a gas station, and some weekends at a lumberyard. My first year of competition in college was at University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh. I didn't really realize that I was going to have a good year then, because most of the guys that I was wrestling against were all state champs and had larger accomplishments than I had in high school. So I had a successful freshman year of college for Division III, 32-1. And I lost in the NCAA Division III finals. Late in the following summer, through word of mouth, I was exploring the option of trying to get on a Division I team, and I contacted head coach Fran McCann at Indiana State. He said he was interested, and he gave me a half ride, and I told him I needed a job also to help pay for room and board. In that summer, in August, I didn't even go visit the school. I went sight unseen, and I rode down with a teammate from Stoughton, Wisconsin, near Madison. He was a three-time All-American, our 118-pounder. And his name is Bob Dickman, who later, he and I became his oldest daughter's godparent. So there's a lot of good ties to former wrestlers at UWO and Indiana State. Well, while at Indiana State, we had about eight guys on our roster that all were from Wisconsin, so I knew some of those guys. Again, they had higher credentials than I had in high school. So at that point, I was starting to feel like I belonged at the college level. It kind of validated that at D3, my freshman year, jumping from high school to college, and then I had some pretty good success. I redshirted my first year at Indiana State and wrestled a bunch of open tournaments and did quite well. I think I lost three or four times that year and won or placed in most tournaments. The next 2 years at Indiana State, my teammates made me co-captain, which was quite an honor, and the rest was history. Great friends for life were made with those guys at UWO and Indiana State. Then I took a graduate assistant job at Indiana State. They dropped the wrestling program when I was there. So I transferred to Southwest Missouri State in Springfield to finish my graduate assistantship degree. And then, anyway, I've been doing camps and clinics and coaching youth and high school kids for about 35 years.
Wow, quite a story. Bruce Bumgardner, with 13 Olympic and world medals, is one of the most accomplished American wrestlers ever, and a 1982 graduate of Indiana State, where he was a two-time NCAA runner-up and national champion with a 44-0 record as a senior. You missed being a teammate of his by a year or so, if my recollection is correct, but I'm sure his presence was felt during your time at Indiana State, and I'm sure you have met him a time or two. What recollection do you have of Bumgardner, and what impact did he have on that program and on that campus?
Pat, you're exactly right. Bruce was gone when I arrived at Indiana State. He was working on his master's degree at Oklahoma State, and he was still competing at a very high level internationally and He wrestled in a lot of the opens around, well, mainly the Midlands, but I think he won the most Midlands titles ever. I'd have to go back and look at that. But Bruce definitely set the bar for all wrestlers at Indiana State and in other wrestlers in the U.S. His credentials speak for themselves. After Bruce's college days, he went on to be, like you mentioned, the most decorated wrestler in U.S. history with World and Olympic medals. I did have the opportunity when I was in college to warm up with Bruce at a few tournaments. I was in awe at how fluid and technical Bruce was. This man was very technical and a very powerful man. He had the technique of lighter weights and the power of a freight train. Bruce is now the athletic director at Edinburgh and president of USA Wrestling. We need more high school and collegiate wrestling coaches to go into educational administration, either by being athletic directors, principals, and superintendents. It's vitally important for the future of our sport to have college opportunities for wrestlers and all minor sports to have that opportunity to earn a degree, master's or doctorate.
Yeah, what a great competitor and ambassador to the sport, and really somebody that's working on the grassroots level, and like you say, was just named the president of USA Wrestling this summer. So really a gem, and it's neat that you have that kind of a connection with him.
Yes, he's helped out on some other activities when we've had somebody else, another coach, go down. Bruce has always been there to autograph a poster that we could raffle off. He's a good sounding board for starting a Division I wrestling program, because he has that insight from the athletic director's perspective. So I can lean on him and say, and then I have another real connection to the AD at Iowa State, who actually dated my sister and in high school. And those two guys are great sounding boards for budget, what it takes to get a D1 program going. And it would be wonderful if we could get something like that started in Kansas at some point in time.
Sure. And Jamie Pollard, I know, was a national champion in, I believe it was cross country, but he sure does seem to be an advocate of wrestling as well.
Yes. Jamie is, my sister ran cross country with him in high school, and then she went on to run for Arkansas. So, but I have stayed in touch with Jamie.
So tell us how the concept of the Kansas College Wrestling Fund came to be. What are the goals of the organization, and how has it begun to benefit our college programs?
Well, originally, I've watched many outstanding or viable nationally recognized wrestling and minor sports programs, whether that be gymnastic or track, but mainly wrestling, dropped over the last 25 to 30 years. The concept to start the Kansas College Wrestling Fund was kind of a no-brainer after Division II wrestling powerhouse Nebraska Omaha dropped their program the night they won a national title. That was a tough one to swallow if you've been around, because I've seen Indiana State drop, LSU, Tennessee, Drake, many other Division I programs, let alone the NAI and D3. And we were trying to figure out if we could stop the bleeding, basically. And the idea began with a few meetings at my house with Ned Price, Randy Hinderleiter, and Vince Nowak and myself. The thought was, rather than starting an entirely new nonprofit, the idea was to try to partner with USA Wrestling Kansas or the Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association. So I contacted Mike Juby with USA Wrestling Kansas. He coached us to develop a business plan with a set of parameters. And then from there, after several meetings, Vince Nowak was very instrumental in writing up the parameters and all the legal detail work. Without him, we wouldn't have got this thing off the ground. After meeting with USA Wrestling and taking our business plan to them, USA Wrestling came back and gave us a list of 10 committee people that met the criteria of our parameters from around the state. And then I was lucky enough that they appointed me the chairman. So that's worked out well. So it's just I want to keep that thing going. I hope this organization's going 30 years from now and we get the right people following in our footsteps. One of the big goals will be, it's been a goal for a lot of people around the state, is to see if we can't get a Division I program either at Wichita State, Kansas State, or KU. So that's still a goal. We have quite a bit of data, and I think we're building momentum.
So on that note, let us know how we can donate to the cause for the Kansas Wrestling College Fund.
The best way is direct contributions. Obviously, and we have different levels of donating, which would be, they can mail a check to USA Wrestling Kansas Inc. Attention Mike Juby, 7208 Magnolia Way, Hutchinson, Kansas 67502-9380. Also, we have a website, and that you can find the Kansas College Wrestling Fund at www.usawks.org, and look for Kansas College Wrestling Fund. And there's abundance of information on the website. That'd probably be the best. Or we list all our committee members, and if somebody felt more comfortable just talking with a committee member, they can do that too, by calling them or emailing any of the committee members, and they can find that on usawrestlingkansas.org.
All right. Very, very worthy cause to get behind.
I would have not gone to college probably if not for wrestling. So I think it's vitally important that that opportunity is available for all minor sports.
And that really says a lot. And, you know, I think wrestling kind of has a unique place in that, what you just said, that you may not have gone to college. And has a unique place in that there's so many first-generation college students that come out of our sport. And I think that really, you know, just is an extra important reason for preserving and growing the sport at the college level. So wrestling programs in Kansas have exploded. We now offer 15 programs, including two women's programs. What do you attribute that growth to, and what do you think are the keys to continue growth and sustainability?
Well, it's a very exciting time for to see Kansas colleges invest in new programs around the state. The KWCAA hopes to be a player now and 50 years down the road. When you and I are both, you know, not as involved with Kansas wrestling, but hopefully our kids are, or they come back. That's another issue. We have many student athletes that leave the state for wrestling, and I think my son was one, and your son was one, and there's many others. If, you know, the state of Kansas talks about brain drain, there was another student athlete, Justin Dyer from Olathe South, and I think he has his doctorate now, but he ended up going to Oklahoma, and then his master's program and doctorate were at Missouri. Well, that opportunity for him to come back to the state of Kansas wasn't available to be involved with wrestling and get the degrees he needed. So there's many other kids that have, you know, Tyler Caldwell, Joe Johnston, and you probably can name some other guys. I don't want to single anybody out right now, but if we go back and look at the list of kids that have left the state and not returned.
Those are good examples, for sure.
Right. So in one word, the reason they're adding programs is demand. And some of the universities are looking to increase enrollment, but wrestling has shown it has a high participation rate in kids in high school levels across the nation. And wrestling is the most underserved activity as far as college student athlete opportunities available nationwide for high schoolers who are about to graduate. You know, the opportunities for them to go somewhere and wrestle and still get a degree is very minimal. So we may be there's some circles that say that we're getting too saturated in Kansas. I think the coaches in the state are going to have to work harder, and they may be bringing in more guys from outside the state.
Well, Sean, thank you for taking the time to join the KWCA podcast today, and thank you for listening. Looking forward to seeing you at the 2016 KWCA Fall Clinic in Salina.
Pat, thank you for all you do for our sport. We both know there are a lot of there is a big wrestling family in Kansas, and a bunch of people around the state are doing positive work for wrestling, and hopefully we can continue working together. So, yeah, I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. That's all for this edition of the KWCA podcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.